Welcome to the Rogue Startups Podcast, where two startup founders are sharing lessons learned and pitfalls to avoid in their online businesses. And now, here's Dave and Craig.
All right, welcome to episode 254 of Rogue. Craig, how are you doing this week?
I'm good, man. I almost forgot how we do this. It's been a couple weeks that we took off in there, and sorry to everyone for leaving you hanging, but yeah, it's summertime, and I think it's some of what we're going to talk about is just, you know, doing in life a little bit amongst all this craziness.
Yeah, I mean, sorry that we left everybody hanging. Not sorry that I took the time off. It was very good. I just got back from a week's vacation with my family. We went camping all over Colorado and had a fantastic time. It was very, very much needed.
That's awesome, man. That's awesome. I want to dig into the details of what you did and stuff, but share just from my end, similarly had not like time entirely away, but last week, I don't know, 2 weeks ago now, I guess, my son was in a soccer camp for most of the week. And so I was taking off a pretty good amount of time to go kind of help out and spend time there. And then they were in another summer camp last week, and I spent a fair amount of time shuttling the kids and doing that stuff. So really, really nice. 2 weeks working about like three quarters time, maybe almost no calls in the evenings and stuff like that, which yeah, leaves me now like rearing to go and batteries charged and everything. So I think it's however you slice it, you know, taking some time in the summer, especially to charge, step away, get some perspective is super healthy.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I would say it's mandatory and not just the summer. I think, you know, for me, it feels like I need to do this a little more often to get that perspective, to step away and come back. And, you know, every time I do this, I remember, oh yeah, that's really good for me. And then I ignore it for months on end and I'm like, this is not good.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I guess I feel a little more attuned to it. You know, I ditched freelancing a couple months ago and yeah, I just feel like this was a major important shift that needed to happen.
Yeah. That's cool, man. So kind of spill the beans. So you went camping, where you guys do, give us all the good details.
Yeah, sure. So the plan originally was to go camping at three different locations here in Colorado. And for those that aren't familiar, Colorado is filled with many, many camping opportunities. There's desert, there's mountains, there's hiking and rafting and all that good stuff. And so, you know, to take advantage of that every summer is pretty much mandatory in this state. I think they want to kick you out if you don't. you know, in my family. So this was our long vacation for the summer. The kids actually start back to school here in 3 weeks, ridiculously.
Wow.
So, and no, not even that. 2 weeks. 2 weeks, ridiculously.
Wow, that's crazy.
I know. Your kids just got out, too. So it's always weird. Oh, the kids are still in school. Oh, the kids just got out of school. Oh, really? My kids are getting back into school. Yeah. That being out of sync like that with Europe and the U.S. is a little funny. But anyway, so we did the trip. We went out to this reservoir on the western slope of Rifle Gap, and we stayed there for a couple of days, and then we went down into the Cimarrons, which everybody thinks are in New Mexico, but there's actually some Cimarron Mountains in Colorado. They're very lesser known. It's a wonderful place. It's very remote. Stayed there for three nights, and it was probably like the best campground we have ever been at in our lives. It was amazing.
That's awesome.
Yeah. And then we finished that up with some whitewater rafting in Buena Vista, which has whitewater right there, Browns Canyon, the Arkansas River. And my family had never gone whitewater rafting before, myself included. Weirdly enough, my parents were not into whitewater rafting. And, you know, I never had an opportunity to do it with my friends when I was in my 20s. But anyway, we did it for the first time, had a fantastic time. So, I mean, just absolutely everything about the camping experience was awesome. We did paddleboarding, we did hiking, we just sat around and read in the campsite, wildlife, you know. And the best part of all of this was the fact that I was unplugged, completely unplugged, literally unreachable for 6 of the 8 days that we were gone.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah. I mean, it was the first day I was a little twitchy about it. I was kind of like, I know everything's going to be okay, but I kind of want to see what's going on. It had nothing. So, you know, Mike, our engineering guru, who also listens to the podcast, hi, Mike, was taking care of things while I was gone. He did a fantastic job. Absolutely nailed everything. Like, he, you know, it was a pretty quiet week, thankfully. A couple of minor issues came up, you know, the support, usual or lesser pace, and he handled all of it. But, you know, I just kind of want to see what's going on. Like, it's not about his ability to execute on anything, which is absolutely not in doubt. It's just I have this need of wanting to know what the fact that I couldn't do it for 6 days made me chill the fuck out.
Yeah.
Literally just had no choice. And that was great. It was really absolutely necessary. And after the first day, that just kind of went away. We're driving in between, you know, I pulled up my phone really quick, but I literally had minutes to deal with this. And there was like one thing I had to send on to Mike that got emailed to me that he didn't see. Everything else was fine.
Yeah.
So it was the entire time. And, you know, a huge testament to our infrastructure and the way that we've set things up so that we're not constantly bombarded with support and all of these things. So, yeah, I feel like this was the compression I really needed after freelancing. The first two kind of helped me come down from that, but this is the one I felt like it purged my system. You know, now I feel like I'm fully in business mode.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
I was just starting to get into it before we got there, but now that I'm back, I feel totally into that. And also, I've kind of noticed, you know, having done this for a couple of months now, I'm kind of falling into a cycle of productivity where I'm doing stuff in the morning. And, you know, sometimes that's calls with customers. Sometimes that's discussions with partners over Slack or email, catching up on customer support. And tasks like setting up cold email campaigns and stuff like that. But about 2 or 3 o'clock in the afternoon, I just noticed that my energy kind of goes meh. Not like completely craters, but, you know, I really not my best anymore. And so around that time, one of two things has been happening. Either I'll just switch all the business stuff off and I'll do like personal finance or catch up around on chores in the house or something like that, or I'll just go read. And I'm okay with it. Like, it just feels great to be able to have those options and say, yeah, you know, work's not working for me right now. Fuck it. I'm done.
Yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's, I have a similar kind of thing around that time. Maybe it's a me, like right after lunch is hard for me, but then there's a couple of like golden hours for us from like 2 here. So 8 o'clock Eastern to like 6. Where that's like our overlap with the US team, especially folks on the East Coast. Like, that's my only time all day that I have to be really going.
Right.
So, yeah, generally, like on days when we don't have a lot of calls or whatever, I agree. Like, yeah, 2 or 3 o'clock, food coma. If I don't have a coffee right after lunch, I'm like, oh, it's a mess. So, just turn it off. Like, yeah, I take the dog for a walk a lot around then and just reset, and I come back and I get another solid, you know, chunk of time in, and then that's it. So that's cool that you're able to see that and like acknowledge it, right? And it's not like a point of stress for you, it doesn't sound like.
Yeah. A lot of things, you know, I was doing some of this before, but my wife definitely shouldered more of a burden because she felt like, okay, from 8 to 5, Dave's working. So if something goes on during that time, I kind of need to handle it as much as possible. And we've been doing now is more like, oh, can you pick up the kids at 3 o'clock? Yeah, sure, I can do that. Can you take our middle daughter over to ballet at 4:30? Yeah, sure, I can do that.
Yep.
You know, things that I wasn't able to do before. So now frees her up, and she's, you know, she has a tutoring schedule that is mostly afternoon heavy because that's when the kids are out of school, right? So that's when she does her work for the reading intervention. And that's the only time that they're really available unless they're homeschooled. So it has definitely made it easier for her to do all of that. And, you know, she's also, she was in a car accident earlier this year and, you know, is constantly having to deal with medical issues. So, you know, between the medical issues in the morning and the tutoring in the afternoon, a pretty full day. Yeah, and now I have the ability to take that off of her plate. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's, she's okay. We're still working through it. It's just, you know, she's got some loose joints and things don't snap back into place as quickly as they. Yeah.
No, I think it's one of the great pleasures of, you know, this life that we've built for ourselves, right? Is being able to make work fit around our lives, at least some of the time, maybe, right? Like, I know there's definitely times where I just have to say to the, do this thing that you want to do because I have to work. But there are definitely other times where I say, cool, yeah, 2 o'clock, I'm just going to bug out and then I'll get back on at 6 and work a couple hours. And that for me is totally cool and totally cool for the family a lot of times. It makes it really long term, I think, to have that flexibility.
Yeah.
Even if it makes your life kind of weird, but you know, I don't know, like I've accepted it, I guess.
Right. Yeah, it is odd, but like, you know, sometimes late in the evening, other side of the world, Australia, India, whatever, pops up and has a question. And so I'll just jump on customer support at 8 or 9 o'clock at night to answer that so that they've got that. But, you know, having the flexibility to say, all right, I can do this right now. It didn't work as much earlier and I did some other things. I feel totally good about it. Before, when I had to do this after I had already worked 9 or 10 hours at the freelance gig, plus whatever I had done at Recapture, it felt more like a slog.
Yeah.
But now it doesn't. So, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I wanted to give an update from my end and wanted to hear how things are going from your end about sales. I'll give my update first, and then we can dig into how the stuff. We have like this window of time to try to capitalize on some of that stuff.
Okay. You show me yours. I'll show you mine.
So I guess the good news for us, and like, I don't pat myself on the back that often. I hope I don't at least, but we offers to 2 account executives, sales reps, both of them were accepted and they're starting of the middle of August. So in like 2.5 weeks. And I'm just really proud of us because it took kind of like the whole team to, you know, recruit and screen and make the offer and really sell the candidates, which is like a really good sign. And so I'm just like super excited that like we got our first 2 choices, which is awesome. They're both young and hungry, experienced salespeople. Really excited about that. And then like it puts at the same time this immense burden on me and Sam and Matt to, you know, get stuff ready to feed these guys. So that's a lot of what we've been doing is, you know, off the sales focused stuff up until now. It's been like, let's get some salespeople in here. Now that that's all done and these guys are just a couple weeks from starting, it's like, how do we fill up pipeline for them? And this has been kind of going on a lot before this, but it's a lot now is around pipeline. But I guess like the update that's maybe not like the most exciting update is we've started both like cold email campaigns and some paid acquisition stuff, which is cool. And it's cool the team really putting a lot of this together. So like Matt and Sam putting a lot of the creative parts together, and those both kind of like starting to drive some pipeline for our sales reps that are coming in a couple of weeks. So that's cool. It's been a long cold email. We're using a tool called Lemlist to actually send the emails. It's fantastic. And using Phantom Buster to kind of tag team on LinkedIn, the same contacts. So yeah, I guess that's our kind of like sale at this point.
That is amazing. And the fact that you've got those candidates in there is excellent. And, you know, I think it's interesting that, well, it's not that interesting that you got a couple of folks here for remote work, because I think that there is definitely a shift right now and folks are looking for remote work. So those of us that are offering pure remote only positions still have that advantage as people are trying to shift back to in-person. So, you know, congratulations on selling a couple of candidates on that. I'm sure that they were pretty excited to have a full remote position after the whole COVID thing, right?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. One of them had been remote before, but the other definitely had not been. And so, yeah, I think that of it. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's awesome. And good luck with that. I know that onboarding one person is always a challenge, onboarding multiple people, but you've got a larger team than I do. So, you know, it doesn't all fall to you. You can get some help. But yeah, it's still, it's an insignificant amount of work to make that happen at once. So congratulations on that. That's great.
Yeah. Yeah. So it'll be interesting to see how it goes. Yeah.
Yeah.
How about you? How are sales efforts going?
So sales efforts have actually been here. We too are using Lemlist. So good choice on that. I don't remember who gave me the original recommendation on that. I don't think it was you, because I just now realized you were also using the same tool I was. I don't know who was that original me. Anyway, but it doesn't really matter. So Lemlist is really good for cold email. And so what we did is we took 250 contacts that I had dug up and scrubbed out, and also, you know, contact information, phone number, email, founder names, titles, stuff like that. Once I had sort of gotten to that level of it, I then set up a couple of sequences that I could test, a shorter one and a longer one, and then through it. So two things surprised me about this whole thing in general. So one, this is the first time of all the times I've ever done a cold email campaign where I actually had people respond positively,
mm-hmm.
which kind of blew me away. And, you know, I think it has it, you know, obviously I hear about people that have effective cold email campaigns. I have never been one of those people that had an effective cold email campaign. And, you know, I was getting response rates that people told me I should be getting if the campaign is effective. And it was interesting, long or short, I was getting responses both ways. So it didn't, like, my A-B test ended
hush. Okay.
Which I also found to be somewhat interesting. Although I did see some differences in the open rates. Like, one of them had a 60% open rate.
Wow. That's incredibly high.
Yes, it is. And then the other ones to 47% open rates all across the emails,
yeah.
which again is really high.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Average, for those that don't know, an average open rate in an email campaign, if you're in the mid 20s, you're doing pretty well. 30 is considered. So 40 is like off the charts outstanding. So I was really shocked to see open rates quite that high and have positive responses. So that has been very much a good sign. And so what I've here, we've got a larger list of candidates or of leads here, and I'm going and having those enriched as well, because I wanted to test this first. I didn't want to go and blow all my money on the list only to find that it's all crap. So we've gone and now the test turned out okay. Now I'm completing the enrichment on the list, and then we're going to start cold email processing the rest of the list. And so far, you know, of the ones that replied, they've basically in becoming customers. Like, tell me how to sign up. Tell me how we can migrate here.
Wow.
So
massive.
That's massive. Like, it's not just reply with interest. Like, they are ready to sign up by the time they get there. So what I'm going to do is, based on those high, based on the fact, and it was high open rates through all the emails. It wasn't just one. Like, I didn't trick them. And then they were like, fuck you, Dave, we're done.
Mm-hmm.
It was, you know, wow, okay, I'll read what you have to say each time. But, you know, not everybody responds. I know exactly how it goes as a store owner. You know, email marketing is always in your top five things to do, but it's never number one. And, you know, you're dealing with supply chain and order management and inventory and customer support and what. All of those things are going to keep distracting you. So what I'm going to do is I'm probably going to hire the guy that you recommended to me to do some contract cold sales. And I'm going to, I already have the numbers for all of this. He's going to reach out to the ones that, and I'm going to try to have him do cold calling, because I tried cold calling and that just sucked.
You have phone numbers for everyone then?
I got phone numbers, not for everyone, but mm-hmm. I think the hit rate was about 80%.
Wow, it's huge. Okay.
Which is pretty good. I mean, this outreach that I did with some, it is a Filipino company, and they have a bunch of really good VAs, and they really did a good job enriching this list to the point where it was useful.
Mm-hmm.
So this was a recommendation from Breck Palumbo for other things. So yeah, it was very good. If anybody's interested in the company, I'd be happy to connect you with that. Just send an email, podcast@roguestartups.com. But with that, I think I can close even more of them, because it's clear that interest, now I've generated awareness. So it's like I've already moved them from top of funnel to middle of funnel, and I think I can go straight to bottom of funnel at this point with cold calls.
Yeah, that's awesome, man. That's awesome. I mean, I think your open rate is massive percent at this point. So like very happy with that, you know? And like I think anything above that is fantastic. So you must have some awesome subject lines there. I like the idea of multiple touch points, and I think that's kind of what we're trying to do with like email, LinkedIn, email, you know, bounce back and forth between the two. Some people aren't big on kind of one channel or the other. For you, you know, email, phone call, like it's just a different way to get in front of someone. And yeah, I think it's a genuine thing to show someone like, hey, we really care about getting in touch with you because we think what we're doing is so valuable and that you would benefit from it, that we want to get in touch with you in multiple places or in multiple ways. And, you know, whichever works best for you is how we can connect. So yeah, I think that's a really good strategy, man. I won't be surprised if you have really good success with phone calls.
Yeah. I mean, I'm very happy with this, and I struggled to kind of figure out what the strategy would look like, because just, I took the approach in the cold call, but they have no idea who I am.
Yeah.
And so the cold call feels too intrusive at that point.
It's too cold, right?
It's too cold. Yeah, yeah. It was ice cold. Yeah. And that was bad. That was very bad. So switching to the email to kind of gently warm it up, I think is making a bigger difference. And so, you know, if I can get somebody who knows what the hell they're doing in the cold calling, and I can give the guy a very clear idea, because I have videos at this point of what I was pitching in the previous cold call. Absolutely everything in that video pitch is still legit. But now I've got a better set of leads to pitch it to. And, you know, the one thing I've learned over the past 4 or 5 years is that following up again and again is going to make a huge difference. Just outsized difference.
Yep.
The fact that, you know, most people stop after 2, 3 at the most. But if you're like, if you're doing 6, you're an outlier position on that curve. So, you know, we did 3 emails here. We'll do some phone calls. At that point, if they're not signing up, but they're not moving over, okay, that's fine. Maybe what I'll do is I'll try a reminder campaign later with that same, send it again to say, hey, you know, Jilt's shutting down pretty soon. Have you had a chance to make that switch yet? You
mm-hmm.
know,
mm-hmm.
that kind of stuff. So, you know, I definitely can reuse this list in creative ways to get the people over there. Cause I know that there's a huge, when somebody wants to change providers of anything, it just has to do with, you know, the hassle factor, the fear factor, the I don't have time for finding a new solution factor, the with something that's different factor, all of those things. But if you're forced to do that with an event like this, you know, it's a real opportunity. And since I've got a large window, I feel like there's some strong possibility of success. I noticed, in fact, speaking to that inertia point, I did some checks on the leads, and I took a delta between June 1st and July 1st of all the ones that still indicated that they had Jilt. Take a guess at what the difference was in terms of percent.
50.
Go down.
10?
It's less than that.
Wow, really? That's amazing.
Yeah. It was only 5% in a 30-day window had actually moved off.
Wow.
Yeah. So again,
what kind of timeline are we looking at? Like, when is the service actually shutting down?
So they're technically going to be till April, but I've already talked to one of the customers that's on there. They've kind of internally shut down some things on the service. So it's not even fully functional now.
Okay.
So it's not what it even used to be.
That's crazy.
I don't know that they've announced that so much to the customers. Certainly I didn't get the impression that they had. He just sort of noticed it. And, you know, I was like, wow, okay, that's not good.
Yeah, yeah.
But hey, that's their choice. It's not what I would do, but okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's unthinkable for us to take up a business with customers and, you know, presumably is growing and profitable and just shut it down. But, you know, they were acquired by a bigger company and this was only part of what they did. And so, like, yeah, I that. But yeah, that whole thing is bizarre. But yeah, I mean, you're getting folks right at the right time, right? They're having to make that move. So yeah, it seems like a really opportune time. I want to clarify something you said about like, and like being persistent with folks. I think that, yeah, we're sending a 3-email sequence to these cold leads, and then we will stop. We won't send 6 or 8 or 10 or something like that. But if somebody signs up for like a demo or sends a form or whatever on our site, we'll follow up with them forever. And I think that that's the difference. It's like if somebody comes to you or if they reply to a cold email, like they're a lead now and leads get followed up with until they unsubscribe or tell us they don't want to hear anymore or become a customer. But I don't think sending for a long period of time is appropriate. I'm assuming that's what you meant, though.
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely a point of diminishing returns, and I get really annoyed when I get 6 emails from somebody who I didn't really want to hear from. So I try to be cognizant of that. Right now, we've only done the 3, and I've tried in the past to go more than 3. And I saw the unsubscribe rate go up after 3, like 4, 5, and 6 went significantly higher and I got more fuck you days. So yeah, it was absolutely not the way to do it, but that was, you know, that's what all of the articles out there tell you to do. Just keep following up. And, you know, I mean, and I remember Stelly Efti's talk from MicroConf, you know, follow up until they tell you to. Yes. And
but I don't think that's in the context of cold email. I think that's if someone express interest in your shit, follow up until they tell you to fuck off or become a customer.
Yeah. I mean, it definitely comes with some caveats, and there are polite ways to definitely not polite ways to follow up.
Yep.
And I know that, you know, I don't want to have the reputation of the slimy guy that's like sending too many emails to everybody in the space, because e-commerce is small, and I've noticed already that people that leave me this might be back in 18 months because they're pissed off with their previous provider and they're going to come back again. It's happened before. It will continue to happen. Yep. You know, people get, you know, that's the grass is always greener syndrome, right? They'll go jump to a different service. They'll use it for a while. Grass isn't that much greener, and they'll come back if they liked what they had better before, you know? Yep. And the only way they'll do that is if they're treated well. So if you are not doing your customer service, if you're sending too many emails trying to get them to sign up, whatever, like, you know, I have it set in my drip sequences. If they reply to me, I stop. So, but follow up until they, you know, don't say anything or until I've got a certain number of follow-ups on there for warm lead customers for asking for feedback and stuff like that.
Yeah. Nice. So Dave, are you going to one of the MicroConf local meetups in the fall?
Sadly, and it isn't out of desire. At this point, it's actually a bit of a schedule conflict.
Mm.
So the closest one to me would be Austin. And that one is sometime in October. I don't remember the dates of all of them. I know the one in Portland is actually conflicting with our big snow that is happening in the fall. And one of the attendees already posted in our Slack group and said, yeah, I can't go to this because it's conflicting. And I'm like, I'm so sorry. I'm so not changing the dates. I've got everything locked in. There's no way that's going to happen.
Yeah,
sorry.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, I hadn't planned on going to anything because it involves some travel. There is some news that I do have. So instead of that specifically, I got accepted as a speaker to go to Recurring Revenue Retreat Live, which is in Florida in November.
Cool. So that's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. Some other notable speakers that are going to be there. Brian Castle from Zip Message is there, and Chris Lemma, VP of Product at Nexus, and Corey Miller, they'll all be speakers there. So I'm very excited and honored to be among such awesome people.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm looking forward to the fact that, you know, it's Florida in November when it's still warm.
For sure.
And we can actually, you know, go out and get a little bit of extra sunshine. And my wife is actually coming with me. So, awesome. Yeah. So we're going to make a little bit of a mini vacation of it. And that's going to be cool. But between that and we have another vacation in October to take our kids. We're going to Santa Fe for a week on their fall break. And then, you know, I've got big snow in September. So, you know, my dance card's a little bit full here until the end of the year.
Yeah, that's awesome, man. Yeah, we have, so over here, there would be MicroConf Europe in Croatia again. And
are you going?
Not as of now. And the other one is there's a MicroConf local in London. And yeah, don't have plans to go to either right now. Not because I'm kind of scared or whatever of COVID, but the freaking travel restrictions are literally changing every day around here. And so it's just like, and like, you can't get back and all this weird stuff. And like, then if I go and quarantine, then the kids can't go to school in some cases. And so like, I'm just playing it by ear and kind of waiting to see as we get closer, like, what's the landscape look like? You know, a few weeks out, I think there should be a good perspective of like, oh, things are good or getting better, or things are in the shitter and, you know, it's a good idea not to go. So I could go to either or both, maybe even. I think there are a couple. But yeah, definitely just from like a personal social perspective, ready to see some people again, you know, but just the logistics of international travel with every country over here having its own rules, and a lot of them are just fucking crazy. It's just a mark than you have in the States with, you know, everyone relatively having the same rules.
Yeah. I mean, even having the same rules though, like flying to different states. So like flying to Florida right now is a little scary.
Isn't it always?
Well, it's scary for different reasons right now. Like the cases are exploding down there.
Yeah.
And the Delta variant is running wild. And there's a few counties here, even in Colorado, where it's running wild, and it has to do with vaccination rates, right? So my wife sent me an article about that the other day, and we're like, well, I just kind of have to see here. I mean, being both vaccinated, I feel a little trepidation, only because we still have an unvaccinated kid in the household. Remedied here the middle of August, she'll finally be 12, will be eligible, and on her birthday, one of her birthday presents is we're going down to the local pediatric clinic and getting her poked. So yeah, that's happening immediately. But yeah, I mean, just don't know with 100% certainty at this point, and it definitely is questionable, especially just being in an airplane, because it's like we have to fly to West Palm Beach to get down there, and it's like 7 hours, so an hour in the airport, 2 hours in a plane, and
I think that the spring hopefully will have a little more clarity and certainty, but definitely nice that it's an option right now, you know, that we all could. And I think that, you know, event organizers are probably seeing lower turnouts and stuff, but kudos to them for having the event still. That's really cool.
Yeah, I know it's a hard decision, and I know that, like, you know, MicroConf last year, they had to cancel completely because it's COVID, and that's like three events, not just one.
Yeah.
So that was a big deal, and that sucked, but yeah.
Yeah. Yep. Well, Dave, it's good to catch up again. Listeners, thanks for bearing with us with those couple of weeks off. We will be back next week for updates and insights on how things are going with the businesses. As always, if you're enjoying the show, please share it with someone who you think would enjoy it as well. And we'll see you next week.
Thanks for listening to another episode of Rogue Startups. If you haven't already, head over to iTunes and leave a rating and review for the show. For show notes from each episode and a few extra resources to help you along your journey, head over to roguestartups.com to learn more.